Advent is a time to prepare. Let us prepare our hearts to meet the King. During Advent, God's light illuminates a weary world for any who have grown weary of waiting. For any who are anxious about the worries of tomorrow, God speaks, "Peace, be still." For any whose lips have been silenced, thank you. God is good.
All the time.
We greet you in the name of our Advent Savior, Jesus the Christ. If you're a visitor with us today, we especially want to welcome you and extend that welcome and encourage you that if you'd like to know more about our church, you can fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. This is a season of hustle, a season of hurry. You have parties and engagements and practices, rehearsals. We want it also to be a season of preparation where we prepare our hearts for the coming King. We will do that in many ways throughout the rest of Advent. Tonight, for example, is our hanging of the green service at 6 o'clock, and we want to encourage you to come and be a part of that when the tree will be lighted and some of the other greenery will be brought in. I also want to remind you that today in our service, you have two opportunities to serve and give. One is our toy in-gathering. If you haven't already done so, you can bring your toys to the front during the offertory, and those will be shared with members of the Orange County Correctional Society. And it's a great way for them to have something to give to their family at this season. So we encourage you to take care of that. And if you didn't bring a gift to share this morning, feel free to bring one this afternoon. You can place that in my office or get it to me or to Paula. And we'll make sure those get in the right hands as well. Also, during our offering time this morning, I want to remind you we are collecting our CBF Global Missions offering. That's money that's going to support missionaries or field personnel all over the world. So if you brought that offering to give, place that in the offering plate this morning as well. As we said at our invitation, Advent truly is a time to prepare. To prepare for Christ to speak to our hearts in worship.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from the prophet Isaiah, reading from chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall pull its hands on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this Advent morning. Emmanuel, humanity waits in darkness, longing for your light. In the center of darkness, rekindle our hope. As we wait for the peace in the midst of internal and external wars, be with us. As we pray for families to be reunited, be with us. As we pray for enemies to be reconciled, be with us. As we pray for lands to be restored, be with us. As we pray for long-term security, be with us. As we pray for kindness and community, be with us. Restore and set right our relationships. Replace the darkness in our hearts with your light and your joy. Let your word set alight the hope the world needs to bring the life, your love, and justice. We lift this prayer in Jesus' name, the one who brought us true peace. We lift this prayer in his name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now join us singing our hymn of praise, hymn number 94, Angel from the Realms of Glory. Please stand, if able. This is a busy season of Advent, and as we here at First Baptist Elon celebrate the season, we have many opportunities. And this morning, I wanted to point out the opportunities that take place next Sunday. Starting with next Sunday morning, you will not want to miss our time of worship in the morning at 11 o'clock. Our children will be presenting their Christmas program, The Power of the King. It should be a wonderful time of celebration, and we look forward to seeing how our children's ministry has been active. Come out next Sunday morning for that at 11 o'clock for The Power of the King and our morning worship service. Next Sunday afternoon and evening, we also have a busy time here at First Baptist Elon. Just a reminder to our ministry teams, at 4 o'clock, we do have our church council meeting. Please plan on being there representing your ministry team. At 5 o'clock, we have our fellowship meal. Everyone's invited to come and enjoy a time of fellowship. All the donations that are received for a fellowship meal next Sunday will go to support the relief efforts from Hurricane Matthew. So encourage you to come out and support that time and fellowship around the table. At 5:30, our children and our youth have activities. Our youth will have consuming fire. Our children will have a time of crafts, putting together some crafts for our inbound, our homebound members that will be delivered at our Christmas caroling time. They also will be playing Christmas games and having a good old time. So children are encouraged to come out next Sunday night for that. Adults, just a reminder, next Sunday night at 5:45 is our Elon Roundtable meeting. So please plan to be here next Sunday. One of the main items of discussion will be the budget for 2017. So you do want to be there for that. That'll be at 5:45 in the fellowship hall next Sunday night. A busy Sunday next Sunday, and we look forward to the opportunities that take place in the morning, in the afternoon, and the evening, and look forward to having you there participating in those opportunities.
Well, I got a couple questions for y'all today. Do you always keep your room neat and clean? Never. Me neither. Do y'all keep your rooms neat and clean? Some of you are OCD, huh? Keep them neat and clean. Not to me. You do, Luke? All right. You never. You do. Oh, wow. Boy, y'all are lucky. How about, do you always keep your toys picked up? You do, y'all? Nope. Some do, some don't. Are there clothes on your floor or hanging on the back of a chair? Yes, okay. Do you make your beds up every morning? Did you make it up this morning before you came to church? Wow, did y'all hear Luke? He said, my bed's always made up. When I was a kid, I never saw the need in making up a bed. Why am I going to make it up when I'm going to get right back in it that night? I just thought that was useless. And I still do. I think it's useless. Jerry makes it up. I just don't care. Are there any dust bunnies under your bed? Do y'all know what dust bunnies are? Kind of. Just dirt. Different things. All right, let me ask you this last question. If you knew I was coming to your house today, would you rush home and clean up? No. But what if I, not my room, Wesley said. He says, not my room. That's a pretty good answer, isn't it? Okay. Now, the reason I'm asking you, let me tell you a little story. When I was little, my mama kept a great house. And when she knew somebody was coming to see her, or coming, my mom and dad would, like the preacher would say, that day after church, hey, how about I come over and visit or come have lunch with you? They would fly home from church. It was only about a mile from the church. We lived out in the country. She would say, my sister and myself. She would tell me, get the broom. She'd say, go home and sweep. My sister would have to get the mop, and she would mop. Or, let's see, got other things here. Have to get the little dust thing, dust off everything. I didn't bring the toilet brush because I didn't think y'all wanted to see that. Clean the toilet and stuff. So she would give us all these different chores that we'd have to do and get the house spotless so the preacher could come or whoever was going to come that day. And she would check behind us to make sure everything was done because I like to cheat a lot and not do everything I was supposed to. And because I didn't like to clean, I still don't. But the reason for this lesson today is the Bible tells us, well, hold on, let me start back here. Can you imagine what it would have been around your house if you were expecting somebody really important, like a king or a queen? Well, in this lesson that we're looking at today, this morning, the king is the coming of the king, not just any king, but the King of Kings, Jesus. The Bible tells us in these days before Jesus began his ministry, a man named John began preaching and telling the people to prepare for the coming of the king. When John told the people to prepare for the king, he didn't mean go home and sweep your house or clean your room or pick up your toys or make your bed. He meant that you should prepare your hearts for the coming of the king. And by repenting their sins and turning towards God, when they did this, John would baptize them in what river? Do you know? Close. Starts with a J. Jordan, right, in the Jordan River. And this is how he got his name, John the Baptist, because he did all the baptizing, most of. And it is important for you and myself, too, to make our hearts ready for the coming of the king. We do that by confessing our sins and asking God to forgive us. We will do that. If we do that, the Bible tells us that he will forgive us and make our hearts clean. Then we'll be ready when Jesus comes, too. Okay? Let's pray. Father, every day we do things for which we need forgiveness. We ask you to forgive us and make our hearts clean so that we'll be ready to welcome the coming of the King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, 76. Let's stand and worship.
during this time of offering, if you have not had a chance to bring your toys forward for the toy ingathering for Prison Ministry, you're welcome to come up following the prayer. This morning, as we go to the Lord in prayer, we recognize the ministry that takes place within these walls, within this community, across this world. So let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, you are a God that hears and sees and loves all. And Father, as we come to this time of offering where we return a portion of the gifts and the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, Father, we just ask that you use those offerings, not just within these walls, but across this world. As we bring our CBF Global Missions offering today, we recognize that that goes to support the missionaries around the world that share your love and spread the word of who you are. You are Emmanuel. You are our Messiah. You are the Christ. Father God, we just lift up that offering and those many missionaries that it will go to support. We lift up those in the Orange County Correctional Facility, Father. We just ask that these gifts, these toys that we bring forward today, be an opportunity that they can share the love of Christ with their children, with their teenagers. Father, we also recognize that as we give these gifts, we give them with love, and the message of Christ goes with them. But Father, may that message be delivered, and it may be shared. Father God, we come to you in a time of giving this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Lord, this is a season to prepare hearts and minds for the coming of the Christ child. But we know it's also a season to prepare our hearts for the return of Christ at the end of the age. And we confess, Lord, we are not ready. We confess that often we let moments of preparation slip by, failing to say things we should have said or do things we should have done. And likewise, God, it seems we say and do all the wrong things. And so we pray for your forgiveness. Would you look upon us with your mercy? Lord, we rejoice in the Christ child who comes to bring salvation, to ransom those captive in darkness, that you have set us in the light. By that light, we can see. And we see the world, and we see our communities, and we know, Lord, that there is much to be done. We pray that you would bring healing to those who are sick this season, that you would bring hope to those who find themselves in desperate situations. For many, this season is a time of grief, a time of looking at empty chairs and holding our hearts in pain. We pray the Comforter would bring comfort. Lord, for others, this is a time where they are reminded of how little they do have. We pray that you would bring to them blessings, bring to them resources, bring to them wisdom and vision. And Lord, we pray for our nation as we find ourselves so divided, that may we forget all of that for a season and hold hands with others across the way to lift our voices up together as we sing, O come, Emmanuel. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. We invite you to hear again the words of Scripture, a word of hope, a word of joy, a word of promise from Psalm 72. May his name endure forever. His fame continue as long as the sun. May all nations be blessed in him. May they pronounce him happy. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May his glory fill the whole earth. Amen and amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Silence can be kind of awkward. You ever have that moment where you're riding in the car with someone and you don't know them very well and you sort of just run out of things to say? It can be uncomfortable. Or maybe you remember your first date with your beloved, and there always comes that moment where you don't really know what to say. And maybe you take the advice of Abraham Lincoln and say it's better to keep your mouth shut and seem foolish than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Silence can be painful when you're going to see someone who's grieving or in the hospital and you want to give them some word of advice but no words come and you just sit there. It may be exactly what they need, but it still feels awkward. Silence is something that many people in our modern age of always being surrounded by the white noise of music and TV and advertisements, silence is something that we can fear, really be afraid of silence. Many people cannot even ride in their car 20 minutes to and from work on their commute in the morning or in the afternoon without having the radio playing, just something, some noise to fill the silence. Or perhaps you've gone over to someone's house to pay them a visit and their TV was running. They weren't watching it. They were in another room. Maybe they were writing Christmas cards. Maybe they were cooking. But that noise has to be in the background. The news, the weather, something to fill the silence. And even when you come in and you're welcomed and you're greeted and you're sat down and you're offered the obligatory glass of sweet iced tea, still in the background, filling every single moment of silence, there is the blah, blah, blah of noise. Why are we so afraid of it? Perhaps we are afraid of what we will hear when there's nothing to hear. Perhaps we're afraid of what thoughts might come into our minds when we're sitting there all alone. Silence is so awkward and so such a fearful thing, and yet we say silence is what? Silence is golden. In fact, that is only part of a very ancient Egyptian proverb. The full proverb says, speech is silver, silence is gold. Think about the meaning of that proverb. What the Egyptians were essentially saying is that speech is not quite as valuable as silence. That silence is to be preferred over rambling, over meaningless, constant jabber. You know those people who just can't stop talking? Preachers, maybe? But we know from this ancient wisdom that there is something valuable, deeply valuable about quiet. And I think it's the very thing that the psalmist understood when they say things like meditate. They don't mean locking ourselves away necessarily and chanting, but to simply silently be. What is that verse? Be still and know that I am God. Because the value of the silence is that we are forced to be alone with our own thoughts, alone with our own reality. And in that silence, we can begin to hear the truth about ourselves. And perhaps we'll hear happy thoughts. Perhaps we'll think of good things that we've done or said. But inevitably, because we are, after all, sinners, we're going to think of the things we did wrong, the mistakes. I should have said that. I should have hugged her one more time. I wish I could take those words back. I wish I had gone when I had the opportunity to go. In the silence, we get to meet and shake hands with regret. And that's not necessarily bad, is it? It's only bad if we stay in the regret. It's only wrong if we wallow in their shame and in a sense of guilt. That is not the purpose of the silence. The purpose of the silence is to work our way through that, to find life. In the silence, we find out we are sinners. But there's something that can be done about it, is there not? In the silence, we get real with God about our shortcomings, and we find out just how far we really have fallen short. But in that moment where we're broken all the way down, in that moment comes this word of hope. John the Baptist proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Not repent because the kingdom of God is at hand, but repent because the kingdom of God is at hand. It is joyful. We come to Matthew's gospel on this second Sunday in Advent, chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea. What were you doing out there in the desert, John? What were you coming to say to us and do for us? It says that he came proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. I have this image in my mind as I read this of, "O brother, where art thou?" Delmar's found Jesus. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." We are a lot like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. If you were here on Thursday for praise and prayer, you learned that song, "I don't want to be a goat, nope, 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 nope. I just want to be a sheep, bah, 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 bah." And in the chorus of that song, it says, the Pharisees, they're not fair, you see. And the Sadducees, they're so sad, you see. We say we are not them. We are not like those Sadducees and Pharisees. But in the end, when we get real and in our silence, we learn that we're really no different than they are. We're no different from them. We're no different in two very profound ways. Number one, we love a good sermon about sin. His sin, not mine. We talk about sin in the Baptist culture so much, but what we do is we like to talk about safe sins, sins that we know we're not really committing. I had this wonderful engagement with this beautiful lady in Elizabeth City when I was pastoring there, and she was a very wealthy, prominent member of the community, and she came to me because she liked a little hellfire and brimstone, she said. "Preacher, when are you going to preach about sin? We need to hear a good,
pulpit-pounding sermon about sin. And I said, amen, sister. Let's preach about drunkenness. Yes, she said, yes. I said, let's preach about hate. Yes, yes, preacher. Let's preach about it. Let's preach about drugs. Yes, let's preach about prostitution. Yes, preacher. Let's preach about materialism. Yeah. Hey, wait a minute, what? Because she was very materialistic. Those who are gluttons want not to hear the sermon on gluttony. Those who are gossips would rather talk about everyone else rather than to everyone else. Those who are holding a grudge have become so comfortable with the grudge, it actually scares them to think about letting it go. It's too familiar. Like the Pharisees, we are happy to talk about sin as long as it's not one that we personally are currently struggling with. But to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, John just simply says, hey, you can bear fruit worthy of repentance too. You too can have hope. You too can confess in the silent moments of your life. And you too could be free of all this junk that weighs you down. I'll tell you the other way that we're like the Pharisees. And this one is far more subtle and far more internalized. But we often become very comfortable with our salvation or comfortable with our situation with God, perhaps because we're a teenager or a child who mom and dad are deacons or Sunday school teachers or active in the church. And so we say, hey, I'm a member. Or perhaps we just feel this false sense of security just because we're Americans and we are citizens of a so-called Christian nation. And there comes this quiet cultural convenience to it all, doesn't there? Or perhaps we say, hey, I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Elon. I was so struck by when Nikki Carol Hardeman came and she shared a statistic and even backed it up with data that in our current culture, if you attend church as infrequently as just once a month, you're considered a regular member. And what is membership anyway? You know, I look through the New Testament and I don't really see anything about church membership, at least not in the way we think of it. Because that membership in the club creates this false sense that I'm okay with God. I got nothing to worry about or confess or deal with. My grandmother and grandfather started that church. We are charter members. My name's in the roll book. And like the Pharisees, we're just repeating that ancient mantra, I'm a child of Abraham, a citizen of Israel. What wrong can I do? And to them, John the Baptist says, God could raise up citizens from the rocks. God could poof a membership roll into existence full of thousands of names. But we're missing the point. The point is that no one is exempt. After all, it still turns out to be true, for all are sinning and falling short of the glory of God. And that in our comfort and in our ease of membership, we have failed to take sin seriously. John says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Advent is a time to prepare, not just for the celebration of a baby born in a manger, but Advent also proclaims that we are preparing for a second Advent. And as we said last week, we are living in between times. Between Christ's first advent in Bethlehem and his second and final advent at the end of the age. And so, even thousands of years later, how relevant is John's call, repent, for the kingdom of heaven indeed has come near. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we pause now to once again make use of the silence. as each of us surrenders our confession to you and trust in the hope and the promise of the gospel. Would you silently pray as your heart is led? Lord, we give you thanks for your mercy and your grace. Our eyes are open to the great light that you shine on this world of darkness. We pray, Lord, that we would leave this place with a renewed sense of call, a renewed desire to repent daily, to confess often, to get real with you and with ourselves. Teach us the power and the beauty of silence. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. I'm going to invite you now to respond to God's word as you have heard it, as you have received it. As we sing our hymn of response, Come You Sinners, Poor and Needy, number 323 in your hymnals. You know this smiley little guy? He is, if you're a worker in our children's ministry, a Sunday school teacher, a children's minister, then here is the fruit of your repentance. And Wesley has been talking to me for some time about his desire to make his faith his own personal faith in Jesus Christ. He's been there for quite a while, but now he is seeking to join this church officially through baptism. And if you support that and affirm that, I want you to indicate that this morning by standing. And Wesley, as you can see, your church family stands with you and will be there for you for years to come. And I'll probably be around too. So. If you're a visitor, by the way, this is my son. We are very excited. And I'm going to have Wesley stand in the back with me after the service. And you want to come by and say a few words to him. And I'm going to do something I was going to do last week, but didn't just completely slip my mind, believe it or not, and I want to do it this week, and that is to encourage you to lift up in prayer Gay. Gay has got a crazy schedule during Christmas, and I'm reminded every year of how much work the music minister really has during this season with Hanging of the Greens and Cantata and children's musical and thing after thing after thing, and then to still come in here on a weekly basis and bring choir anthems and handbell pieces. We want to let you know that we really appreciate it. Would you bow with me as you receive this blessing? May the God of light shine on you this week, filling your heart with hope and peace. May he remind you that he loves you and is with you always, even to the end of the age. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.